Good evening. Welcome. Garland Nixon here with
Mark Levine.
And we got plenty to say, and you've got plenty to say, and we are talking tonight. We're talking Tea Party. We got to discuss the Tea Party. We got things to say about the Tea Party, Mark. But first, if you want to be a part of it, of the show, one of the things you can do is you can go ahead and tweet me right now, at Garland Nixon. Tweet me, at Garland Nixon. I'm looking at my Twitter account, and I'm seeing who's going to be a part of the show, at Garland Nixon. You can tweet me. Mark, if they want to
tweet
you.
Yeah, my Twitter is at Mark Levine Talks. Have you got something you want to say to me? Or
Talks with an S?
Just talk.
At Mark Levine Talk.
M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E-T-A-L-K.
Or at Garland Nixon, G-A-R-L-A-N-D-N-I-X-O-N. At Garland Nixon or at Mark.
That's good, because sometimes our phone lines are full and then people can catch us by the Twitter.
Yes, so tweet me and we'll see what's happening. The Tea Party. Let's start off with this, Mark, and I think it'd be interesting. Let's start off with who is the Tea Party to you? When you hear the word Tea Party, who are these people? Who do you think these people are?
My first thought was the Confederacy. Is that a bad thing?
I think you're right. We're moving parallel here, buddy.
I think of a certain group of generally white, generally Southern, generally male, though not exclusively. You don't have to be Southern or male. And I guess there are some black Tea Party members, though not too many. But generally white, generally Southern, generally male, someone who believes in, I would argue, an apocalyptic vision of government, much like, frankly, some on the far left that want to just sort of tear it all down and destroy rather than build up. They don't want compromise. They don't want to work with Democrats and the president, who they call a demon, but they don't even want to work with establishment Republicans, who agree with them on most of their goals. They just disagree on tactics. Basically, the established Republicans want to do as much as they can without tearing down the country and destroying it. And the Tea Party says, tear it all down. Again, I hear some on the left say that too, so it's kind of ironic to me. So to me, they're the far right, and sometimes the far right can meet the far left, not in their ideals, but in their tactics,
which tend
to be not working with the system, but working against the system, working to destroy the system.
Yeah,
that's how I define Tea Party. The John Birch Society, to me, is the classic forerunner of the Tea Party.
Absolutely. To me, a couple words come to mind: Confederate, extremists, authoritarian. Those are the kind of words that come. People who don't,
and conspiratorial minded.
And something comes to mind that that used to be on our report cards when I was a kid in my county. It would say does or does not play well with others.
Yes,
does not play well with others.
Does not share their crayons.
No, they don't. They're not sharing their toys in the sandbox. Mine. That's mine. They throw sand in the other kid's face.
That's true.
And that's it. And then they even take his toy.
And then say it's theirs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's theirs.
Yeah, so I think of the Tea Party. I think of a bunch of things in American history. I think of the John Birch Society. I think of the Know Nothing Party of the 1830s. There was actually a party, many people KNOW. Know Nothing.
Xenophobic, very xenophobic.
They were xenophobic. They hated Catholics. They hated Jews. They definitely hated blacks, but of course, pretty much all whites did in the 1830s. Well, not all. There were the abolitionists, most did. They were racist. They were xenophobic. They hated Catholics, hated Jews, and they basically proudly hated intellectuals. This is very important. They called themselves the Know Nothing Party. Again, K-N-O-W. They said, I know nothing and I want to know nothing. I'm proud of my ignorance.
That sounds like a Tea Party.
Few people are actively proud of their ignorance. I mean, people are ignorant, but very rarely do people say, I am glad to be ignorant. But the anti-intellectual stream, which I think you find in a Sarah Palin, for example,
there's
always that pointy-headed elite, those Ivy League schools, those New York Times, the people who claim they know something just because they're, climate scientists or economists. I think there's an anti-scientific basis. I think it's a very emotional thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a much more of an ideology based on emotion than it is based on fact.
And I think, and I think that emotion is fear.
Yeah.
I joke about fear-based party. Yeah, I joke about them being, stupid. No, really, it's not a matter of intellectual capacity, as it were. It's a matter of a totally different worldview.
Fear trumping reason.
Right.
Emotion trumping
and
logic.
It's a totally different worldview that probably Mark and I don't, to be honest, we don't really understand it that well. I saw Jonathan Capehart the other day on, and once again, if you want to go, we're talking Tea Party, 202-588-0893, 202 588-0893 from the Post, talking about how shocked he was. They did some kind of an article where they had to go down south and talk to Tea Party people and just interview him and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And he said what shocked him was when the president, the things that he heard that were so outlandish. You know what I mean? The things that you almost, you know, the Rush Limbaugh thing. He's a tyrant. He wants to overthrow America. You know,
this is what always kills me.
He's a Muslim.
Yeah.
Who sat in Reverend Wright's Christian church for 20 years.
That's right.
And listened.
In Kenya.
Yeah. And, right, yeah. So he, just like all Muslims sit in Christian churches and listen to the Christian preacher, because you wouldn't be a Muslim if you didn't do that, right?
Well,
a Muslim.
Terms are a little.
They don't have to make sense.
First they say he's a tyrant, and then they say he's a terrible leader. Well, you know, I don't know too many tyrants that are terrible leaders.
Right.
Most tyrants know how to lead. They lead us into destruction, but they're not generally bad leaders.
The other term that comes to the other term that comes to mind.
I guess he's a very weak tyrant, which makes him not a very effective one.
Hyperbolic. That's a term that
I'm surprised that Jonathan Capehart was surprised, because really not much of the Tea Party surprises me. Maybe because I'm from Tennessee. Yeah. I feel like I know these people.
If you went out and interviewed some of them, I think it's probably just a comment, not just what they say. It's probably the expressions you get. You know what I mean? It's one thing where someone says something.
People are really angry.
And you see somebody,
really,
and they're
angry.
Scared, and they're angry, and they're totally freaked out, and you'd be like, wow, dude, you know,
chill.
Is it really all?
Well, they
do we still have any, we still have anybody online?
I really think that it's an emotional thing, and I think it relates to the fact that the Tea Party sees their country as they know it, and they know it, of course, as Ward Cleaver,
right.
You know,
Leave It to Beaver,
1950s, which of course never existed,
right.
But exists in black and white TV. That's how they know this country, and this country never was that, mm-hmm. and is even further from that than it ever was. And I think that's a good thing, but I think that scares them a lot.
Yeah, they see an America that they feel is going against their values.
Whites are no longer in charge or less in charge.
Right.
Men are no longer in charge or less in charge. Christians are no longer in charge or less in charge. Straight people are less in charge. You name all the Ward Cleaver
people who
society.
Once quote in their mind who once knew their place in this hierarchy
no longer know their place,
which was below the white male.
That's right.
Gay people, blah people, as Rick Santorum would refer to African Americans.
There are even people who are openly admitting they're atheists, and that's crazy.
That's unacceptable in society as they see it. So they see a society that's, you know, stop the roller coasters, you know, stop the world I want to get off, that's changing too fast for them.
And let's face it, I mean, we are probably going to have more non-white babies born in the United States than white babies in, 10 years, something like that?
And here's the other part.
Which doesn't faze me at all, because I think, again, America's strength has been its diversity for a couple hundred years.
The other part of it is this. They're authoritarians. They do not want to govern. Governing takes compromise. They want to rule.
I would say, I wouldn't use the word authoritarian so much as Leninist. If you know the story of Vladimir Lenin, the way he took power in Russia, became the Soviet Union, was he didn't have a majority. He lost in the parliament.
Right.
So he just did a coup d'etat, basically, where they knocked off all the police at the important street corners, took it over and said, we're in charge here. That becomes authoritarian, but I would argue they have more of a coup mentality,
But I mean, it's an authoritarian. What I mean when I say authoritarian,
it's not democratic. To be sure.
It's an anti-democratic way of running a government, where we are right, and it doesn't matter if when we're out of power, we should run everything. When we're in power, we should run everything, and our policy should be always enforced. Our policies should be the ones that we go by, and then when you're in charge, we stop your policies. So that we can get back in charge in our policies.
And they don't seem out to be persuading Americans. They aren't. I think
they're scaring Americans.
Establishment Republicans might come out and say, well, you know, the Affordable Care Act didn't do all I wanted to do, and we could have a discussion with them because nothing's perfect. And we could say it worked here, it didn't work there.
And let's wait till it's actually happened so we can say whether it worked.
But Tea Party Republicans are much more likely to say, as the guy did just last week, I forget who the guy was, who said it was the worst thing in American history since slavery.
Oh, yeah.
Really hyperbolic.
I had a guy tweet me with
claims.
This stuff about it's worst thing for slavery. The only thing has been, you know, it's worse
and
for slavery,
like,
for African American slavery. And my answer was, you don't know a whole heck of a lot about slavery, do you, pal?
You know, it's like, all right, I got problems with some health care insurance. I actually think the current system's pretty lousy. But when you start comparing things to slavery, it's not it's like the people who compared Barack Obama to Hitler. It's like, I mean,
it's like, what is it?
Either you're crazy or you're unhinged, or you know that you're just being hyperbolic.
It's the old, you know, you ever heard the term Godwin's law, reductio ad Hitlerum, and which basically is a law. If you look at Godwin's law on the internet, it's a law that states that any conversation that goes on long enough, you know, any argument, eventually someone will sink to the point of comparing someone else to Hitler. Reductio ad Hitlerum.
No, but actually, Rush Limbaugh made that argument.
With the Republicans, it's they're going to say one of two things. It's going to be Hitler, or it's going to be something compared to slavery, or there's going to be the word plantation in there. These people are on the plantation. They love that term plantation.
Actually,
on the far right.
Rush Limbaugh, and honestly, I don't believe this is true. I have no idea if it's true, really. I haven't studied it. But Rush Limbaugh said that something about Hitler putting universal health care in the 30s, and I don't know what he did or he didn't. Somehow, I doubt the non-Aryans got any
Germany
kind
was
of health
care. In fact, Germany was the first country in the world who had any sort of universal health care system, and that was like in the 1870s.
Oh, okay. So it predates Hitler.
Yeah, I don't think he was in charge then. Rush Limbaugh.
But the point is that, you know, Rush Limbaugh, when people think of Hitler, I don't usually think their complaint has to deal with his healthcare system.
Right.
I just don't think that's the thing that people were complaining about.
Right. You're right. You know, but look, you know the easiest job in the world? Rush Limbaugh's fact checker.
Yeah, well, that's...
You talk about a guy who's got time on his hands.
No, he's actually working very, very hard. He's underpaid.
You're right,
He's got so much work to do.
You're right. We're going to... here's what we're going to do. At 6:30, bottom of an hour, we're going to take a minute, and then we're going to go to some callers. 202-588-0893 is 202-588-0893. And let me say this. We've got Tesla and we've got Roderick, and hopefully you too, 202-588-0893.
I want to know from our callers where we go from here.
And I want to know from this, what do they think of the Tea Party? I want to know what they think of the Tea
Party. But where does the Tea Party go from here? I mean, is it gone? I mean, not many people are talking about the Occupy movement anymore.
Right.
That was sort of our Tea Party, although I'd argue they were a lot more rational and decent.
They couldn't be less rational. You know what I mean?
Right. But they were also trying to sort of work outside the system. But the Occupy movement, you don't hear about it anymore. It's kind of gone. It's a shame, because there were a lot of – the whole 1% did come into our lexicon, and I'm glad it did, because that came from the Occupy movement. So I think they left a track behind. But you don't hear people form an Occupy party or anything like that. I say that's good. And it's one of the reasons why the Democrats could stand firm unanimously at 100% while the Republicans are each other's throats, because we stayed unified, our left and liberal and moderate wings. But I think the question is, will the Tea Party go the way the Occupy movement?
I say nowhere soon.
No time soon. Because I don't think they're spent yet.
No, and the other part of it is this. They don't play well with others, any others. They are turning.
Including themselves.
Right. Well, they are turning on the Republican Party. And
that's
my
true.
Argument is the Republican Party split. There is two warring factions that call themselves the party. Now, we got to take a break here for about a minute. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. And then we've got Tesla. We got Roderick. We got Tom. 202-588-0893. Be right back. Garland Nixon, Mark Levine. Once again, Garland Nixon and Mark Levine on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here at WPFW. We got plenty to talk about, and we involve you and Mark's, I think, pretty much set us straight on the Tea Party. From his perspective.
Well, and I want to hear a Tea Party person call in, too.
Let me throw this out there, too, before we go to Tesla. One thing that I find very, very interesting when, you know, being a black person myself, if you talk to
you're
people,
black?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sitting across from him, and
right.
I guess you are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never noticed.
Don't tell Tea Party members. They'll be walking around outside my house with a Confederate flag, you know, like the president.
Right.
But in any rate, you know what kills me? The House, the Tea Party afterwards, they said that Barack Obama didn't respect them. You walk around outside a black man's house with a Confederate flag and then say he didn't respect you. I don't get that. But at any rate, what I find interesting is in a black community, when you ask most black people that I know, I mean, time and time again, when I say, who is the Tea Party, they almost always say, oh, that's just the KKK now in modern. You always hear that black. That's the KKK. That's the percent.
And to be fair, not all Tea Party people are racist. But many of them are, but not all of them. Right. And I want to be clear about that because there's some that just support the goals of shutting down.
But I did find that when that guy was standing there with that giant Confederate flag, I didn't notice a lot of Tea Party members saying, "Oh, bad, bad, bad man with the Confederate flag, take it away."
Exactly.
They just kind of stood around and thought, whatever. At any rate, but remember, I didn't say what they were or weren't. I said the perspective in Black America is pretty unified in seeing them as a very racist element, as the social enemy of Black people.
Well, they are
the political enemy.
They are the descendants of the Confederacy.
But the Jim Crow people of et cetera.
They're the children of Strom Thurmond.
At least the political the political defenders. So let's go start with TESPA, and then we're going to get to the line. We've got plenty of people, so we got to get to all of our lines. They're all full. Let's start with TESPA. TESPA, welcome to WPFW.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, TESPA.
Hi, TESPA.
Good evening. The Tea Party is a determinist party. It knows the future. It knows the past. And it wants to go to the future it definitely knows. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or dislike it, agree with it, disagree with it, they will go. They are determinist.
Right.
And they are manipulative to achieve their goal. Mm-hmm. They are deceptive. They don't care. They don't believe in God and God's instructions. They are the ones. They are determined. To the opposite of this, the Occupy Party, the Occupy movement was a democratic. It was different groups. They meant something good. They were kind. They cared. So they passed their message to the elected officials and to the people. The message is heard. According to them, it's over. They want to see the change. They suggested. These ones are the opposite. They are determined to go, and they have financing. What makes them more dangerous is they have financing.
That's true.
You are
That's
correct.
The difference between them and Occupy.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, TESPA. Appreciate your call. I hate to cut you short here, but we've got tons of lines here, and people have been waiting very patiently. Robert, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Robert.
Roderick.
Roderick.
Yes, good day. Mark Levine and...
Garland Nixon.
Yes.
I am a Terry DeKester reincarnated. Anyway.
Oh, no.
We miss Terry. We really do.
Well, anyway, basically what I want to say is that the Tea Party's people before them, their ancestors, they lost the bullets in the Civil War. They lost the cannons. They lost the cannon war. They lost the bullet war. But they were able to then make a way of life that was similar to slavery. So they started the Black codes and everything like that. And then, of course, you had to have the Civil Rights Movement. Then you had, every time you have a little bit of progress, you have people who try to bring us back, or there's going to be resistance. So Tea Party are nothing but the sons and granddaughters of the Confederacy who have been reincarnated, and they want to take America back to the antebellum days.
Have you noticed they still talk secession? They still talk about state nullification of federal laws.
Oh, yeah.
The same things that John C. Calhoun talked about in the 1830s, you can hear right now in 2013 in the Tea Party.
That's correct. And they talk the same thing that Jefferson Davis was speaking to. So, but basically, the Tea Party are nothing but a group of adults who are acting like children, who can't get what they want. They want to bring the country back to what it was 150, 160 years ago, and they'll do anything they can, like they just did. They shut down the government, and like I said, so they're going to rouse up things again very soon. You know, they're not done. They probably won't be done for another 10 years, but they are going to lose, and people are going to vote them out.
All right.
Basically, that's what I had to say, and you gentlemen always are right on point, and thank you.
Thank you
very much, Roderick. Certainly appreciate it. Yeah, you know, he made a lot of good points, and you know, that's his perspective on the Tea Party.
And that's not
there
how
are
they
some
see
things
themselves.
That I agree.
That's not how they see themselves,
right.
Just to be fair.
Absolutely.
They see themselves as, some of them see themselves as descendants of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Or as fiscal conservatives who want to stop massive spending.
Oh, what about this?
Or trying to protect the country from the evils
of
our Obama.
Real Americans?
Yeah.
We the people. You know, I don't know how we the people can be like 20% or less of the 18% of the country is now we the people.
Right.
I guess the other 82% are
But Tesla's right. They are determined.
But at any rate, Tom has been waiting patiently, and we value his important message. Tom.
Hi there, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Hey. I learned this week, and this is actually one of the most interesting aspects of this whole fiasco. Ted Cruz is native-born to Canada.
That's true.
Right.
He's born in Calgary.
He grew up under the single-payer option system.
That's true.
This is what we want. I mean, how are
that's
you
a good
go
point.
And say, nah, health care for everybody is a bad thing. Yo, but I can be raised on
you're
it.
Right.
I can benefit from it.
But it'll kill you. It'll kill you.
Yeah. That was the most backwards thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, no, well, he never mentions his own health care in Canada. He never says anything about that. It's interesting. Someone should ask him about it. Were you deprived when you grew up in Canada?
But, here's the other thing about it that I think is important, that I've been learning more and more. As Tolstoy, was it Tolstoy? Who was it? Tolstoy that said, no, it wasn't. It was Voltaire. I must speak to Voltaire. Any belief that is not founded in reason and logic will not be swayed by reason and logic. So when you use emotion, if we want to use that term, with the Tea Party people or with people of that ilk, you're not going to get anywhere arguing, using a logical and reasonable argument, because they didn't get where they were with logical and reasonable deductions.
I'll tell you one of the things I do when I'm arguing with Tea Party people, and actually I wrote an article at politics.topics.com about the unconstitutional nature of the Republican tantrum, that I called it. And there are a lot of conservatives on there, and I've been arguing with them in detail, and folks, you can look it up and join in the discussion. But what I find is that the Constitution is something that trips them up because they claim to revere it. And so I just cited chapter and verse from the Constitution, specifically the 14th Amendment, that says the validity of the public debt shall not be questioned.
Oh, not that part.
And which says basically you can't default and the debt ceiling's unconstitutional. And they had a real hard time dealing with it because I had the express language of the Constitution. I'm sure they ran to look it up and they're like, oh, wow, that is in there. And it was really hard for them to say, well, I want us to default when the Constitution very clearly says you can't.
Well,
if you appeal to authority and one they claim to respect, it makes them squirm. Now,
for a few minutes.
For a
and
few
then they
minutes.
Just go back to where they
well,
were.
Well, usually. But,
because the argument that it's about the Constitution or the Bible or whatever it is generally with extremist, as it were, which I consider Tea Party extremist, it's generally an argument of convenience. It's generally an argument because it works at the minute they're arguing with you for what they want it to mean.
Also, most of them haven't read it. I mean, they treat it like a lot of people treat both the Constitution and the Bible. These are sacrosanct. They're perfect. Yeah. There's no problem with them. And then they haven't even read
them. Or people that call.
And then you cite for them all the liberal values in the Bible, of which there are many, or the equality that's in the Constitution. And they're like, oh, wait, that, I didn't mean that.
Right. Well, or like I've had people call me, you're a Marxist. And I say, you ever read Marx? No. Well, I have. And I know that I'm not a Marxist because I've read the Communist Manifesto.
There you go.
You know, so you're a Marxist. I'm a Marxist according to you, but you've never read Marx. Then how do you know I'm a Marxist? But in any rate, we got Luke, 202-588-0893. We got some open lines, but right now we got Luke, and then we're next going to Jay. Luke.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I just want to say, I really appreciate WPFW for being, independent, really the only radio station I can myself, I know a lot of others, call into and listen to and expect to hear, sides of the argument, especially politics and so forth, that are not really controlled opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's getting worse these days, and we can all agree on that. And I'd just like to say, I hear you guys, you're talking about the Tea Party as if they're so incredibly bad. But, I mean, can't we just get past that at this point? I mean, isn't it obvious at this point in time, where we are in this country, that both sides of the left-right paradigm are completely controlled? I mean, if that's not obvious to you guys already.
Controlled by whom?
You're a little far behind. I mean, it's getting ridiculous now. It's clear that these guys are run by a royal banking elite. The Bushes, the Clintons of this world, Obama, they're all friends behind closed doors.
Do you see no difference between, say, the Congressional Black Caucus and the Tea Party? Do you think they're identical?
I never said they're identical. I'm just saying that there's a false left paradigm going on here where they want us to create...
Well, if they're not identical, then they're...
...political division where it's really just a false argument, and we're all part of the same team here, and all this nitpicking isn't going to get us anywhere. It's really the bigger picture of what's going on behind the scenes and why things are the way they are today. And I don't know if you guys have been really talking about that too much.
Well, I think what it is, I think we probably see things, shall we say, a tad bit differently. I would argue right now, if you can't see any difference between, say,
the Democratic Party
and say, the Republican, the group of warring factions that we call the Republican Party.
He sees a difference, but what, you think the difference is minor?
You think they're all controlled by the same groups. I think that's what you're saying.
I think there's definitely a difference. I think, you know, between the mind states of the average Republican and Democrat and so forth, there is a difference in the mind state, without a doubt. But I'm saying that it's being, you know, enlarged, and it's being enlarged due to false assumptions and false facts that are perpetrated onto the American people without them knowing about
it. Give me a couple examples of those, just so I know what you're talking about. What false facts are perpetrated that you're talking about?
I mean, I heard you guys mention earlier, you know, the Tea Party mindset is that of the conspiracy. I think it was you who said the conspiracy.
I think they're conspiratorial-minded. I think they are.
Right, but I mean, who's really controlling? You really don't think there's any kind of, you know, power structure controlling things behind the scenes at this point?
There's a huge power structure, but it's a long discussion, and we can try to take it apart. When I say conspiratorial-minded, I mean that they believe things that are untrue. They believe Barack Obama was born in Kenya, or he's a Muslim, or really why. When I talk about conspiratorial theories, I generally mean the ones that aren't
simplistic
true.
Ones.
Simplistic things that aren't true. I'm not saying that President Obama does everything a progressive would want him to do, or that there's no, you know, not,
or that Wall Street bankers don't have a lot of political power.
Or that they don't give money to Democrats as well as Republicans, yeah. Which they do, but to me, Garland and I talk all the time about money and politics and the power structure and corporations.
And how it's gotten worse under Citizens United.
You hear Garland talk about Walmart. He can go on for hours doing that.
Yes, I can.
So
and just might tonight.
This is not a topic that the two of us are afraid of. It's the difference, though, I think that we see is that we do see a not minor but a real significant difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, between the Clintons and the Bushes, to give the two examples you gave. That doesn't mean we won't condemn, you know, Obama when he's not acting progressive enough. We even staged an intervention a couple times.
And here's the other thing, and this is something I always say that I think is important. And it's not that, and what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that there aren't similarities either.
Right.
You know, if I go to buy a car and I say, well, they both got four wheels
and they
both got a steering wheel, they both got seats. Oh, but I see this one has an AM/FM radio. It may be at times I've seen when there's a Democrat versus a Republican or whoever, and they're so similar. But I find one thing, for instance, let's just say one of them is pro-choice and one of them is anti-choice. And I might just say, well, they're all alike, but this one's pro-choice. So
example.
I'm going to pick the one who has something that I feel is important.
Virginia has an election in just
Holy
2 weeks.
Holy moly.
Okay? And a lot of people are complaining about the Democrat Terry McAuliffe because he's kind of a wheeler and dealer. He's kind of a big businessman, friend of the Clintons, and that's all true. But when you compare him to Ken Cuccinelli, who is a radical right-winger who wants to, like on his ticket is Randy Obenshain, who wants to require women who have miscarriages to report them to the police. This is a guy who's, you know, flagrantly anti-gay, doesn't believe that people even have the right to not discriminate. He wants to require people to discriminate.
And we haven't
he wants to bring sodomy back.
We haven't even brought up the lieutenant governor.
No, because he's crazy. I mean, he's talking about really a theocracy here in America. So, you know, the Democratic ticket might not be perfect, but compared to the wackos in the Republican ticket, it's a really easy choice.
Yeah,
does that make sense to you?
Sometimes it's the difference between a dried up biscuit and a brownie made of broken glass.
Give me the biscuit. I'll just give you one last thought. I appreciate it.
Okay, and then we're going to Jay.
Okay, here. One last thought is,
sure.
You know, I respectfully disagree with being, you know, the easy choice being the Democratic ticket compared to the Republican. I think they're just equally as bad. And I'll leave you with the fact that, you know, anyone with open eyes and ears, hopefully at this point, can see that 9 times out of 10, both sides are lying to you conjunctively. And together, and it's a concentrated effort to mislead the American people.
Thanks a lot. And as I said, we're together in saying there are similarities, and sometimes, now there's some great progressives that we know, but sometimes there may be more similarities than I would like in a given, you know, candidate from the wherever, from some swing. But
there are huge differences.
There are huge differences.
And if you want to know who cares about civil rights, I mean, if you want to know who cares about people who make under $1 million, or who cares about unions, or who cares about health care for poor people, or you're making sure that workers get decent wages. I mean, it's night and day between Democrats.
And we're going to Jay next. And we got an open line, 202-588-0893, a couple open lines. Jay, is Jay available? Jay has been so patient. So
hello, Jay.
Ready to give you your time, Jay. What's happening?
How y'all doing today?
Great.
Hey, Jay.
I just had a quick comment, man. You know, I mean, when y'all talk about the Tea Party and, you know, how, you know, these guys are racist, to me, I really care less if a person's racist. Because day, that, you know, it's America. You know what I'm saying? You have the right to be or have your own opinion about whatever. It doesn't even matter. My issue is the fact that, you know, like the gentleman that just came on before me, you know, he was basically saying, like, you know, they cut from the same cloth. You know, but the sad part about it is people don't really understand, like, what's actually going on. I mean, how do you conquer a nation? You know, they divide people up. I mean, it's easier to divide people, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. to actually take over things, you know what I mean? But to me, I'm looking at it like this. Like, we lost as human beings, not as black, white, Spanish. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. We lost that spiritualness, that spirituality that we all need to survive. And I feel, like, strong because, you know, these individuals that we elect, it doesn't matter if they're Democrat, if they're independent, Republican, they don't worship the same gods. You know what I'm saying? They don't. I read the Bible the other day, and I can't tell you exactly which Bible verse I was looking at, but it stated something as far as men in later days will take to the teeth of the demons. Now, to me, you know, we never talk about that.
But see, Jay, there's parts of the Bible that liberals look at and conservatives look at that are very different.
And thanks a lot for calling, Jay. Mike's coming up next. Appreciate Mike's.
I just want to say because liberals look at the Bible and they say, you know, take care of the orphan, take care of the widow, the Jubilee year where you redistribute the land or leave a corner fallow for the poor.
God, the nurturing God.
That's right.
God, the loving God. And God, the helping
and
God.
And conservatives might be looking for demons.
God, the punisher.
Right. Answer is they're both in the Bible, and it's not a question of one or the other. I would argue that there's more.
You ever notice what you hear a lot on the right is things like this: God punished fill in the blank for fill in the blank. Or the other day, Cuccinelli, I'm sorry, I'm so, you know, shocked that God didn't punish America for whatever it was. And God put that everything, the tornado, well, they had a gay rights parade. Oh, were these people, they're New York City doing God only knows what kind of horrible things. God, they interpret. They see, what's interesting is, they see the Bible through their lens.
That's right.
They believe that the world works through reward and punishment, and the only way to get somebody to do something is to punish them, and they interpret the Bible through that punishment lens, and all they see God, they never say, well, God help, nuh-uh. God punished
the Bible
this person
says
for that.
God created man in his image. I would argue man creates God in his image.
That's it.
And the liberal image of God is a forgiving, a nurturing, a caring God that looks out for people in trouble.
And requires us to do the same.
And the conservative vision of God is
God the punisher.
God the punisher, hierarchy, things like that. So it may be the same Bible, but we definitely read it different ways.
The hierarchical order where certain people are above
people. That's right.
And, you know, we're going to Mike. Mike, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
FM. And thank you for your patience, Mike.
Hello, good fellas.
All right.
Hello, Mike.
All right. How y'all be?
We're fine.
Now, look, this is where we at now in America. You know who runs the White House, the Capitol, the lobbyists. They're all the same. Obama, the Republicans, the Democrats.
And the Republicans are the
same? No difference between Obama and the Tea Party?
The Tea Party, they're all in the same deception. They work together.
Well, they haven't been working together too well the last couple
of
weeks.
Go ahead,
Mike.
Because what's happening is they're just playing a game on American people. And by them playing a game, they got you thinking one side is better than the other. They are all in the same game. They get paid by the lobbyists to come and lie to you about things that you want to hear and to get you upset.
Let me ask you this. Do all politicians you see that way? I mean, we've had Don Edwards on this show, Keith Ellison.
John Conyers.
All of them are being paid.
Sure, but every janitor's being paid. Every lawyer, everybody's being paid. We can't say that people aren't being paid.
See what we got here today, brother. In the black community, we have no business. We have 9 or 10 other races in the black community making money off of black people's ignorance about creating economics and power for themselves. Only thing people listen to in America and the world is money and power.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Hate to cut you off, but we only got a few minutes left, and we got two more callers. We got Clark and Bill, and we want to get them in. Clark, welcome to WPFW, and thanks for calling.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great show. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Clark.
But I wanted to say that I think that instead of focusing on how we differ from the Tea Party, I hear an awful lot of analysis, but what are we going to do about them?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I think what we do is we give them enough rope that they hang themselves.
What do you think?
What do you think we should do about it? What do you think? And then we'll answer. Go ahead, Clark.
Well, I know it's very tough, but I think we should try to find common ground with them.
Do you think they want to find common ground with us?
Well, I'm not sure that's relevant. I mean,
can you negotiate with someone who doesn't want to negotiate with you?
Well, you can try to. Here's just a couple of suggestions.
Okay.
I don't know how they feel about the prison system we have in this country. Maybe they're for it, but they might not like that kind of control. I don't know.
Well, I take your point, and this I do agree with you, Clark. I take your point that there are issues that people from very different walks of life can work together on. I'll give you an example. I used to work for Congressman Barney Frank. Mm-hmm. You would think that Barney Frank and Ron Paul, mm-hmm. the classic libertarian, couldn't agree on anything. We actually worked together on two separate pieces of legislation. One was the legal right for states to have medical marijuana, mm-hmm. and the other one we worked on for was to end the ban on online gambling. The idea was to put it there and regulate it and make sure it's fair so we could play online poker. So those are two things that are completely, you know,
yeah.
but the liberal and the far Tea Party could agree on. So I agree there are some issues we can fight with them on, just not on most.
Let me make a quick comment so we can go to Bill. Thank you very much. Let me give it from my perspective, sure. from my experience in the black community and politics as I learned them growing up culturally and socially. In the black community, this is just my perspective of the black community. I didn't say this is all black people. This is what I learned. You got to know your enemies politically. And there are people. See, there are people that you can't deal with. There are people that must be politically crushed. There are people that you cannot bargain with. And from the perspective of black people, that historically, you couldn't bargain with the Klan. When there was Jim Crow, you couldn't walk up to people and say, well, you know, maybe we can talk this out. Yeah, they could talk a rope around your neck. That's yeah. the way they could talk it out. So the historical perspective of the black people when it comes to political is you have to know who your enemies are, and you have to know that there are people you can bargain with, and there are people that you can't bargain with, and those that you can't bargain with, the only way to do is this. They must be politically crushed by building alliances with those who you can bargain with. And that's what Martin Luther King did, was he built social and cultural alliances with the parts of America that weren't going to go along with the Jim Crow and with the really, really racist people who we today see as the fathers and mothers of the Tea Party people.
I just say that may be a difference between a libertarian who you can work with and a Tea Party person who you can't.
Yeah, they don't. Bill, John Boehner can't work with them. How can I? I'm to the left of Obama. Okay,
true.
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, good evening, sir. How you doing?
Good evening, Bill.
We only got a couple minutes, but we're going to give you a minute.
Let me make it quick, sir. You were debating with a gentleman earlier that called in. Guy was trying to tell you that it wasn't too much different between these so-called liberals.
Yeah, that was Luke.
Right-wingers. Huh?
That was Luke, yeah.
Okay, well, look at your mayor in this city here. He's oppressing cab drivers and trying to throw the cab drivers back into slavery, man. And he's a Democrat, elected by the people here. And I don't know how liberal he might be, but that's just the fact of the matter. And it's not too much different between those people. All of them represent the money. You know, we're cab drivers in this city. He doesn't appreciate us. He sent the police to give us tickets for anything.
Who are you talking about?
The mayor.
Oh, the mayor. Oh.
About the mayor, Mr.
Okay.
Gray.
Gray. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the mayor.
Isn't he a liberal? Isn't he a Democrat?
Yeah, he is.
He is.
So
vote him out. I'm not a big fan of Gray. I think he's corrupt.
Let me finish.
Okay.
But you're sitting there defending these so-called liberals and these other people like that, and people in the city council, not only him, but they oppress cab drivers in this city, sir. They want us to spend out millions and millions of hundreds of dollars, but yet we're not making any money. You have other people doing the same thing to cab drivers.
All right, Nate, and I hate to cut you off, but we really are almost out of time. Do we have 1 minute for Daniel? Daniel, thanks for calling. Sorry, we're about out of time. We will give you your 60 seconds.
Go.
Oh, hi. I'm Miss
Danielle. Calling. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just calling because I'm from Canada, and earlier you were saying that Ted Cruz is from Canada and that basically assuming that he has health care there, but it doesn't really work like that. So even if you're born there, you're not entitled to the health care that we have. You have to live there for 6 months out of every year for your whole life.
No, he doesn't have it still, but he had it as a kid, is what we were saying.
But yeah. I don't even think he was there that long. And also,
wait, wasn't there 6 months? Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, and also, like, our health care, lots of people are kind of comparing Obamacare to maybe to Canadian health care.
Yeah, yours is better, I know.
Well, no, it's completely different, though. Ours is, like, block granted to the provinces. We actually do have to pay a premium. It's not free.
Right.
And nothing is free. I think people need to realize that. And because it's provincially controlled, that's why it works. And we have a lot less people. But
yeah.
I just think with America, like, this Obamacare thing, I can just see this going down the wrong road. I don't think people understand.
Well, we'll see. We're going to give it a chance.
Much.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
It'll come, and we'll see. Just real quick for Bill. Look, I'm not going to defend Vincent Gray. Garland and I did a whole show on how we disagreed with his veto of the Walmart thing. So it's not that Garland and I defend every liberal and every Democrat.
Right.
The difference is that we know the difference between people who we sometimes disagree with and people who
and this is what I'll say
are
about,
trying to take
and
down
this is what
contract.
What I say I believe about politics. I'm not about who, I'm about what. And here's what I would say about Mayor Gray. I guarantee you there are some things that I completely disagree with Mayor Gray on, such as the cab drivers, the issues I know about. But
and
I guarantee you that there are other things, and the Walmart issue, but I guarantee you that there are other things that I completely agree with him on. And I'm not about condemning an individual politician. I'm about saying if there's a politician, Mayor Gray or anybody else, if I can find some things that Mayor Gray is doing that I agree with, I'm going to support him 100%.
And that's what Clark was saying.
Right. And if I can find some – and if I also find things that he disagree with, then I'm going to fight him. And that's – I feel the same way about President Obama.
Right.
Does some great things that I love, and I support him 100%. He does some things that I can't stand, and I say, these are terrible. We got to fight him 100%.
That's right. But when Ted Cruz speaks, I know everything he says
is
wrong.
Yeah. But that's it to me. It's not who. It's
right.
not just
that's
condemning
true.
An individual politician.
No, it's about policy.
It could be – yeah. So it could be the politician that agrees with me on nothing else. If I find one thing that we can come to agreement
that
on,
makes
I'll
sense.
Work on that.
Makes
but
sense.
Most Tea Party people.
We got to sign out, folks.
Oh, guess what? We have a great show. Robin's Place. And they're going to be specially focusing on Gloria Lynn, who passed away very recently in their 80s. And she was a tremendous artist, a tremendous talent.
Hey,
and
folks.
So you got to stay in. You got to stay tuned to listen to that.
I want you to check out some articles I wrote at marklevinetalk.com, at politicstopics.com. I do. I wrote a whole article on the day that America
defaulted. Okay, we got to.
Check it out. I'm going to be on Fox.